as we've said, the cross is an event that took place in history that doesn't change with fashion. Many things change with fashion, they come and they go. But let me tell you, everyone here, if you're like me, you think life is going by so quick. I don't know, I think my life is going by so quick. Can't believe how old I'm going to be this next birthday. I'm still not sure. I have to check. Could it be true that life goes by so quick? And I can remember being a little 15-year-old boy and saying to God, pointing up to God one day, if you really exist, then you show me that you exist. And that if you really are there, I'll follow you. I was 15 years old. And I didn't understand what life was about. I saw my grandparents getting older, my parents getting older, and I was sad. The truth is, I was very sad. I thought, what's going to happen to them? One day they'll die. And I was sad in my heart. And I thought, well, I was asking questions about life. And you may not have asked those questions. I don't know. Maybe you have. But I'll tell you this. Life is whizzing by. And I have found that everyone at some point or another, sooner or later, asks those questions. And when we ask those questions, there are answers to be found. And the answers are to be found in this man here. I don't know what Jesus means to you and what this cross means, but I've grown to find out more and more about what this means. And as I have, more and more peace and understanding has come into my life. And I went from being a confused and question as asking 15-year-old to being someone who at least has found the answer to life. His name is Jesus Christ. Jesus says he's the way, the truth, and the life. No man gets to the Father except through him. You may think, oh dear, there he is. Look, you know, I don't know about all that. But let me tell you this. The cross and the gospel is an event that doesn't change with fashion. And the Apostle Paul, in his letter to one of the churches in the Bible, he said this. He determined to know nothing among them except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Now, this may shock some of you. Most people think that religion and being a Christian is about religion. And being a Christian is about behaving good and behaving, you know, really well and being a nice, kind, polite, sort of very nice person. I'll tell you the truth. That's nothing to do with Christianity. That may be a shock to you. That's nothing to do with Christianity. Christianity isn't about being nice, being polite, being kind, and having... No, that's the sort of religion of Christianity, and that's what it's become. Christianity isn't about that. Christianity is about saying, I can't be nice. I don't know what it is. There's something inside of me that just gravitates towards doing the wrong thing. Have you ever noticed that you don't have to teach children to behave badly? They don't need training in behaving badly. They just automatically, naturally seem to gravitate towards bad behavior. When I was a little boy, no one taught me to get that catapult that I had and pull that elastic back and smash the greenhouse windows of my neighbors. Please don't look at me in such a way. It was a long time ago. No one taught me to do it. I look back now with disgust at myself. How on earth could I have been so wicked? Well, you know, that's a small little thing that a little boy does. Or throwing tomatoes at cars as they were driving past, hiding behind the hedge. And then when the people would stop and go searching in the houses, knocking the doors, I'd be there looking so innocent at the front door, waiting to see who would knock. What a naughty little boy. No one taught me to behave like that. It just came naturally. And you know, life goes on, and then we have desires, and we live our life, and these things are in us, and they sort of drive us. What's the thing that's driving us to do the wrong thing? You may be stuck in something yourself, and you can't figure out what it is. You don't want to do it, but you keep on doing it. Does that relate to anyone here this morning? Don't put your hand up. I know he does. There's little things in your life, or there could be big things, and it's driving you. Well, the Bible explains it, you see. And the Bible calls that thing sin. And it started with Adam and Eve. And it's like a living thing, and it's in us. And it's just there. It's alive in us. And in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, he said this. He said, the good I want to do, I don't do. If the good I want to do, I don't do, and the bad that I hate to do, I do, it's no longer I that do it, but sin living in me that does it. You see, there's sin living in us. And what's happened is so many people have been duped with a false understanding of what the gospel is. The gospel isn't about being nice and being polite and being, you know, that's not the gospel. The gospel is saying, listen, I've tried that. I can't do it. It's about being humble enough to say, I can't get victory in this in my life. I don't know what it is. I can't get. Maybe, you know, that's why some of the worst people I know have become Christians. I mean, we've had them in this church, haven't we? Ex-mafia people. We had Vince, the guy who was from the mafia, with us last year. His family there. We've had the bodybuilders, the gangsters, all manner of people, because they tried to be good people, but they couldn't do it. And in desperation, one day they said, I can't do it. I've tried to do it. But real Christianity is about saying, Lord, help me then. And it's about sometimes being so broken, so desperate, and that you get really humble. You know, a lot of the time we trip ourselves up by being prideful and we put on a brave face. And that's such a shame, you know, especially in church. You know, you go to a church, you say, how are you doing? Everyone says, oh, very well, great, thanks. And inside you've had a week and a half. And there's pain, there's difficulties. It could be, but you feel like you've got to put on a good face. You know, the truth is, it's better to just say, I need your prayers and I need your help. I'm going through some things at the moment. It's about being humble. And what I realize is that real Christianity is about, first of all, being humble enough to say, I need your help. I need your help. Help me. Please help me. I can't do this on my own. I keep messing up. I keep failing. And so I need your help. And you know, that's exactly what the New Testament teaches. That's it, precisely what the gospel is. It's help for those who call out to God. And I don't know what your situation is or what life has for you at this moment in time, but I do know that Jesus is able to meet you at your point of need. And I know that he loves you. And this is another aspect to the gospel. You know, most people think God is there wagging a stick, looking for them to mess up. He's a nasty God, and he's there, and he's just waiting for you to mess up. And then he's, oh, look, you see? Call yourself a Christian. Look what you did. That's not God. God is a God of grace, folks. And God loves you. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter how bad you've been. You may say, I can hear thoughts, you know. And I can hear some thoughts, and I'll say, oh, yeah, he doesn't know me, though. He doesn't know my deepest, darkest secrets. Listen, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter how bad you've been. The gospel isn't about you measuring up with your behavior. It's about God's behavior and his grace. That's the gospel. And so what God isn't there sitting on judgment on everyone, saying, look, you're not good enough. You messed up. You're no good. You messed up. This is no good. Look what you did then. Call yourself a Christian. Look at this. God's not doing that. What God is doing is saying this. If you really believe in Jesus, then what happens is you have all the benefits of what Jesus gave. And watch what happened when we look at the cross and we look at those words that we first had read to us just now in 1 Corinthians 2:2. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Watch this. When Jesus was crucified, he took all of your guilt, all of your sin, All of the condemnation, he took it on himself. And he said those words, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" That's the only time that Jesus, that's the first time that Jesus called God, God, instead of Father. Before that, he called him Father. He calls him God at that point because he felt far away from him, because he took your sin, he took my sin on the cross. And he was sin-stained on the cross. And a tremendous exchange took place. Why did they call Christianity the gospel, the good news? This is why. Because at that point, when he took all of the bad stuff you've ever done on the cross, he took it there, that when you have faith in him and his sacrifice, what happens is an exchange takes place. He takes all of your guilt, you take his righteousness. This is a tremendous good news message that Jesus has given us. He makes you and I righteous if we only believe. That's all it takes, is to say, "Yes, Lord Jesus, I believe in you. I believe in your gospel. I believe in your salvation." And if we do that, a divine exchange takes place. And God thereafter doesn't look at us as guilty. He doesn't look at us as guilty. He looks at us as righteous, because he sees us, and the New Testament says that we're imputed with his righteousness. It's good news. So God's not looking to judge people. God's looking for people that he can make righteous. And he loves all people. He loves you. You know, you've got children or grandchildren, or you know little ones, little children, and you can see the delight in parents. You know, those little children, when my little two-year-old boy, when he messes up, as sometimes he does, and he behaves naughty, I'm not there going mean over him and wanting to chastise him and be cruel to him. I look at his little face and I think, "Oh, you little darling." And it's soon enough I'll forgive him. And he says, "I'm sorry, Daddy." It like melts my heart. And that's exactly what God is for us, you know. Doesn't matter how old you are. But when God looks at you, he looks at you and you say sorry to him for what you've done in life, it melts his heart. And he says, "Okay, I forgive you. I love you. I forgive you." And he gives, and he just wants to embrace you. It's good news, folks. It's not bad news. You know, religion has turned the gospel into bad news and a thou shalt not sort of mentality, and a downbeat, downcast thing. You know, it's a sort of, but that's not the gospel. The gospel is life. Life abundant. God is for you. God loves you. And God wants the best for you in life. And you know, he wants to help you in every aspect of your life. That's all it takes, is cooperation. It just takes saying yes to him and saying, "Yes, I will cooperate with you. I want to do things your way now." So, when we think of that, let me just say this as we bring this to a pointed, I hope, conclusion. In the Old Testament, David said to the Philistine, "I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied." Isn't it interesting? You can get two people hearing the same message. One will take it one way, the other takes it another way. Isn't that interesting? One looks at the glass of water half full, one says it's half empty. Different perspectives, but they've heard the same thing. Well, one is sometimes operating in fear, and the other one has more faith. For one, what is said, it makes them afraid and discouraged. For the other, their heart is so filled with faith that he dares to come against the devil and what he's doing. In the valley of Elah, Goliath the Philistine giant taunted the armies of Israel for 40 days. That giant came out and he just taunted them, bullied them. And when David came on the scene, he heard the same mockings of Goliath. David is there as a little shepherd boy, and Goliath has come out, and Goliath has shouted, and Goliath has mocked them for 40 days. He's done all of that for 40 days. And then what happens? He comes out, and this day David comes up, and David steps up, and he's a shepherd boy. And he's mocked the soldiers. The soldiers are silent. Those trained soldiers, they're just silent. But the little shepherd boy steps up. Why? There's faith in his heart. He's recognized that he was in a covenant with God. I'm telling you the truth. We live in a society today that needs some Davids to step up to the mark. Most of you may be like those soldiers. Most of you may be going that way. I don't know. But I pray that you would be some of the Davids that are needed in this world. This world needs Davids. This society needs some champions to step up to the mark. You know, we live in the stupid society. A lot of what's going on is foolishness. It's this, I call it the stupid society. So much is stupid, foolishness. But what happens is when people say nothing, when people do nothing, what happens is those bad people have their way. God is saying, listen, have I got some Davids? Have I got some people to step up? David believed that God was for him. David believed that he would give him victory. Now, if David believed that in the old covenant, how much more for us who believe in this Jesus Christ message of the cross, that he makes us righteous, that he forgives us of our sin, that he says to us, I will fill you with the Holy Spirit, that you will have power in your life. This is a great message, folks. And this is a message that for all of us who really believe, we can live our life and make a massive impact on planet Earth. This society needs it. There's alcohol problems. There's drug problems. There's all manner of problems in society. And I'll tell you what happens. Most of the people say, well, that's just the way it is. Well, that's just the way it is. Well, you know, I don't believe that. I believe that that's not necessarily just the way it is. I believe that's the way it is because perhaps a David hasn't stood up and faced a giant and said, hold on a sec, that doesn't need to be that way for your life. It doesn't need to be like that. It could be different. And maybe God wants you to be a David for your family. Maybe there's a giant in your family. Maybe there's a bad thing hovering over your family. Maybe, I don't know what it could be. It could be any manner of things. But maybe God is wanting you to be the one that steps up and makes a difference. You know, to truly follow Christ means he has become everything to us. And I speak to Martin and Sarah this morning as part of the dedication on this bit as we conclude here. But I speak to everyone here. And you know, before this week and before this service, we've prayed that people would be receptive. And just as we conclude, think on this. To follow Jesus means he's become everything to us. Everyone follows something, you know. We follow friends, popular culture, family, selfish desires, or we follow God. Some people follow a football team. Anyone here who's really a follower of a football team or a rugby team? Couple of people. Okay. Well, you know what it's like. If they win, let's say the best thing that could happen to them happens, and they win that cup, and they win that trophy, and they get this, and they do that, and when they do it, and you think, oh, it's great, it's tremendous, you know. Afterwards, there's a bit of a lull, isn't there? It doesn't really satisfy, even when they achieve all that they could achieve. And how is it that we can get so enthusiastic about 11 men kicking a football around a field, and we've got the God of heaven who's given us life itself, and he says to us, listen, You need to praise me and thank me for the life that I've given you. And by the way, I hold your eternity as well. You know, life is for a short period, folks. He holds our eternity. And he's saying to us, come on. Come on the right side. Spend your energies in the right place. It's okay to support a football team, but don't neglect to support the God who give you life. You know, Jesus said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me. Hello? Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me. Hello? Hello? You see? He's not talking about soft. This isn't a soft thing. This is the thing that'll cost you a life. Religion has turned it into, well, we go to church on a Sunday, we're there on a Wednesday for the prayer meeting as well. That's not Christianity. That can be just the religion of Christianity. Christianity means that we follow him with our lives. Our lives are spent following him. And I tell you what, he's no man's debtor. If you follow him, you'll find that you'll have real life and you'll be fulfilled in life. His gospel is there for us to take it on board, but it's gone out of fashion. You see, during the course of this week, you'd have heard 1,000 different voices pulling for your attention. And this morning, there's just one voice. You're just hearing this voice just for this little short period of time this morning. But when you get out of here and you go home and you switch the television on, the sports will be calling you. The sports will be a voice calling. Or there'll be that soap opera, that'll be calling. Or there'll be an advert for a new car and the car will be calling. Or there'll be the job opportunity and the job opportunity is calling. Different voices calling for your attention. Everything is calling for your attention. Calling for your attention all over the place. But Jesus says, listen, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me. In other words, put him first place. Put him first place over everything. Christianity will never be about a Sunday morning and a Wednesday evening, folks. No, he demands everything. He demands your entire life. So if that doesn't sound like it's for you, that's okay. Don't bother. Leave it. I just don't want people to pretend, you know. I don't want people to have any misgivings. You say it's not for you? That's okay. It's not for you. The Bible says this. He says, Jesus gave his disciples the secret to faithfully follow him, but they didn't quite recognize it at the time. He said this, the Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. And this is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled them. If you're here this morning and you say, you know what? I want to follow Jesus Christ with everything. Then God has allowed you to do that. If you're here this morning and you say, I can't wait. I hope he's over soon. He's getting on a bit, isn't he? How long has he been speaking for now? I want him to finish. I want a cup of tea. I'm not interested. Then God hasn't enabled you. But I just want people to know the truth and clear about it, you know. Because you see, what I found is this, that at the last moments of someone's life on earth, all of a sudden, the football team doesn't become so important. The football team isn't the important thing, folks. Trust me on this. I'm with people at the last moments of their life at times. The football team doesn't matter. And I tell you something else that doesn't matter. The bank account doesn't matter. No one's interested in what car you're driving at that moment in time. No one cares what car you're driving. What does it matter what car you're driving? Well, you've got an Armani suit. Whoa, big deal. No one's interested at that moment in time. You got £3 million in the bank. You got £30 in the bank. It makes no difference. At that moment in time, there's only one thing that counts. Is there really a God? And is there really such a thing as heaven and hell? Well, you should have thought of it sooner. And ask those important questions now while there's time. Yes, I mean, Isn't it obvious? Is that obvious, folks? I mean, this is the gospel. Look, I want to be honest with everyone. I need to be truthful and honest. I mean, I'm playing games. I'm not playing games, religious games. I want everyone to know the truth. Because the truth is really the truth. It really is. And I know he loves you. I know he's got a great plan for you and your family. I know he wants the best for you. And I know that there's 1,000 voices that you're going to hear this coming week that'll be different to this voice that you're hearing this morning. And those 1,000 voices will be taking you in other directions that ultimately won't be as important as this voice. And I'm not talking about my voice. I'm talking about his voice speaking to your heart this morning. Because those 1,000 voices, they're not going to be important, folks. But his voice is very important. And in this world, in this British culture, as it stands at the moment, they do everything they can to negate the Christian voice. I'm talking about the authentic Christian voice. I'm not talking about dead religion. I'm not talking about some dead religion. We'll put it like that. No, I'm talking about the authentic Christian voice. In this culture, it seems as if everything is geared against that authentic Christian voice out there. But in this place this morning, because of God's love, I believe that you were drawn here. I don't believe anyone here this morning is here by accident. I believe that God drew you. I believe that you didn't even know why necessarily, but I believe that God drew you in here to put a message of truth and a message of hope into your mind and heart to respond. I hope what's been said has made some impact. And I want us to do something now. I want us to stand up, every one of us, please, as we close this service this morning. Just to stand up here. And I'm going to ask everyone to just please close your eyes as we pray. Everyone closing their eyes and no one looking around. Everyone just closing their eyes. Because I want to give everyone an opportunity to respond to the voice of God. Heavenly Father, we come to the end of this service. We thank you for a Christian dedication service. Thank you so much for the willingness and the desire that you put in Martin and Sarah. Thank you for their lives, Father. Thank you that you've been with them and you're real to them. Father God, I ask in these moments now, Father, that anyone who has heard your voice this morning and wants to respond to you and wants to say, I want to make Jesus my Savior. I want the exchange of the cross. I want to be a Christian. If there's anyone who wants to do that this morning, you're not sure if you have or you want to recommit, I invite you now to put your hand up and just respond to him. If that's you, every eye closed, just respond to God this morning by putting your hand up. And Father God, we thank you, Lord, that you've spoken to us and that you've been the center of this service. We give you thanks and praise, and we commit our lives into your hands now. We ask for each one of us that you'd be with us, to guide us, to strengthen us, and to help us as we walk our days before you. In Jesus' holy, wonderful name, amen.